Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I'm so delighted you are here because being here means you have taken time in your day to connect with yourself, to give yourself a time for reflection, for positive messages, plugging yourself into positive and inspiring media, and generally unplugging from all the inputs and all the influences that can really disturb our inner peace and have us not be as healthy or happy as we might otherwise be. So I'm so glad you are here. I'm so glad to share this time with you. But I'm so glad that you are committing to your own well-being by choosing a show like High Energy Health to listen to watch, to participate in. I'd like to ask you to please also share the show with others. If you look through our hundreds of back episodes, you'll see we have resources for all kinds of issues that bother people. And the chances are you have that friend who is struggling with that issue, and you emailing them a link to that show could make all the difference to them. So I'd like you to not only celebrate yourself for being here and joining me, I'd like you to also share the wealth of information and inspiration you have in that back catalog of shows with people who are suffering. We all know them, and we may empathize, and it's also worth sharing resources with them that could make all the difference in their lives. So please do go ahead and bookmark High Energy Health and also share it with people you know can benefit from getting the inspiration that they might experience as they listen to those guests and provide some space in their possibility set for expanding, for growing, and for letting go of the things that might be bothering them. My guest today is Rachel Kaplan. She's a licensed psychotherapist with a thriving practice in the San Francisco Bay Area. She's the author of the book, Feel, Heal, and Let That Shit Go. She studied meditation, yoga, and hands-on healing practices in India and Nepal, and she has a master's degree in counseling psychotherapy from CIIS. She's also trained in cutting-edge trauma modalities like EMDR. Rachel, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for bringing me.
Yeah. And what led you into this career of healing and psychotherapy?
That's a big question. So my first love, and I'd say first very strong attachment, other than, of course, my parents, was my first boyfriend, and he took his life when we were both 14. And so, you know, at that point, I pretty much died inside. I'd say I felt hollowed out. And by age 16, I was desperate for relief. I saw that if I didn't change something, that I would be building a life over this empty hole inside. And so I began psychotherapy. I had my first big healing moment, I'd say, at 18, and I was deluded and arrogant and thought I was all the way there. It turned out it would be another kind of 23 years from that point forward till I felt like I got to a place where I truly, genuinely loved myself. But at that point, I had been already a practicing psychotherapist for over a decade, and the book, and I also have a podcast, is all about what made the difference between me spending decades kind of hobbling around with my emotional injuries and me arriving at a place where I felt like I had a baseline of self-love and genuine self-worth. And, of course, I've worked with hundreds of psychotherapy clients and students, and the cutting-edge practices that are in my book and that I'm really teaching right now using my life to spread are, you know, what I think is absolutely essential and necessary for people to actually heal. And that's what led me here.
Yeah, it's powerful, and it's actually true for most people in therapy and coaching who take it as a profession, I find, is that they're usually looking for answers, looking for solutions, and when they find them, they want to share them with other people, and it's a powerful motivator to offer this to others. And then you use this analogy of all these emotions being bottled up inside us, that that's what leads to all kinds of ill health, both psychologically and physically, and releasing it is key. How did you come to that insight?
Well, you know, the thing I'm using is really a metaphor of our ability to digest. You know, if you're living in the world, you're inundated with the stimulation of the world. If you're a human in human relationships, you're dealing with loss and challenges. And so I think that the simplest metaphor I found in these decades of working with people that illuminates how we need to relate to our emotions is looking at how we relate to our poop. Because, and you know, the metaphor is really endlessly effective from, you know, most people are kind of private about their poop. They might even feel ashamed of pooping. They might not advertise it or invite friends in. But generally, they feel less ashamed.
I'm
sure.
Close the door enough and they lock it.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. And I'm sure lots of crazy things happen. But I think generally speaking, most people feel worse about the part of them that feels like poop, if you will. And you know, when we get the urge, that when we have the signal in our body that it's time to go to the bathroom, we were taught as children that the only way to not have that feeling is to go to the bathroom. And emotions are very similar body-based sensations that also signal that something needs to move through us. If you take the E off of the word emotions, what you have left is motion. And a healthy person's emotional system would be as fluid and movement-based, you know, ideally as someone's digestive system. Now, I've learned since using this metaphor, a lot of people don't have the easiest time pooping, so I feel for everyone in that camp. But basically, none of us were taught that. Instead, because it's very hard to raise children and to keep them alive while, you know, providing food and all the things, and generations back, people had a lot less information about how to support emotions. Most of us were trained out of our feelings, even by very benign, loving parents, whether it's saying, shh, you're fine, or there's nothing to be afraid of. And so, you know, at the most extreme end of the spectrum, you have people being shamed or feeling like instead of being able to be aware of or in touch with their emotions, they needed to regulate the emotions of the caregivers around them in order to keep themselves safe. So I go into length about this in the book, of course, but basically, you know, because we weren't taught that, oh, this is also something that just needs to move, that I need to get to an appropriate place to have this experience and then wash up and go back to my life a little bit lighter and less full of it. Most people are really trying to suppress or distract or consume their way out of their emotional pain. And that's really what you referenced as far as like all of the grave addictions and disordered relationships. And I'd say a lot of, like, the most dysfunctional dynamics in our world, like overconsumption and greed, lack of empathy, these things really come from having our own hearts shut down, not being able to properly move our own pain through us. And so I really feel like teaching people and helping people bring their system back into balance, which isn't as easy as just telling them to have their feelings at this point. You know, if you're dealing with decades of emotional constipation and numbness, it really is like an art and a science of how do you bring that system back into a flowing functional system. But I really do feel like it is like the make or break for people who are hurting and also for a healthier culture.
Go ahead and give us a few examples. That's a very potent idea that children are trained out of their emotions. And give us a few examples of how that's done, what it looks like in real life situations.
Sure. Well, I gave a few already as far as just the kind, loving parent trying to say you're okay to the child instead of saying it's okay to be scared. Like saying, oh, you're scared. That's, you know, you're allowed to be scared versus there's nothing to be scared of. That would be an example. A child having a meltdown in a grocery store and the parent, you know, scolding the child, a child being told they're too sensitive. I think the more subtle and kind of pervasive issue, though, is that as babies, we're incredibly vulnerable and dependent, and we are ultimately biological organisms. So we're wired to know that if we don't maintain closeness with our caregivers, we'll die. Therefore, whatever causes a parent or a caregiver to become distant, to become upset, to be critical, a child, you know, before they're even able to think or cognize, is going to be motivated at like a life or death level to be who the parent needs them to be. And so, you know, beyond just being trained out of extreme expressions of emotion, which I think a lot of people and children are, you also get, people get trained out of certain aspects of themselves that the parents don't approve of, whether it's their emotionality, their gendered expression, their sensitivity, their vulnerability, their demand, their volume, you know. And I feel for parents, I'm not trying to be critical, it's incredibly hard to deal with yourself and these other beings that you've made and now are responsible for. So this isn't about blaming the parent, but for most people, by the time you're an adult and listening to a fantastic show like this and trying to learn how to be healthier, you usually have decades of parts of you that are locked away, that you've been trying to hide from people in your life because you're so sure from this very immature place that's like deeper than logic, that something's wrong with you. And that if you were to reveal these parts, you'll lose love. And in this very, you know, primary imprinting, a loss of love would be, like I said, a loss of life. And so for most people, the act of, you can't really start to have your feelings and start to move your pain out of your system until you first find the parts of you that you've cast out that are holding all that pain. And so there's really a two-phase approach in what I'm teaching, which is the first phase is, who did you lock in your emotional basement? You know, who was shunned by your parents? What did you believe made you unlovable or unacceptable? How do you create a relationship with those parts of you that might help those parts come back into your full expression, your authentic expression? And then once you get access to how much pain those parts are in, because they're in tremendous pain, how do you move it through you?
Yeah, and not have it be stuck there for a long, long, long time. And you're right, people don't know that. And after many, many years, when they're reenacting their parental patterns now that they're adults, it's so funny, when I work with people sometimes, it's like, I say, well, you know, why are you acting that way? And they say, it's because of my mother. And then I ask the client, well, you know, how long has your mother been dead? And it's like 39 years.
Right, right. Yeah.
The inner mom is still there.
Yeah, and so I think this journey of, like, reparenting, kind of reinventing or reinviting these parts is really about becoming the mother or the father that we always needed. And becoming those consistent, allowing, supportive caregivers who can say, hey, it's okay, have your feelings, you know? Have your feelings. That's the fastest way through your feelings. And those parental parts that are going to shape a life, a grown life, an adult, mature life, in a way that works for all of the person versus just the parts that got celebrated when we were young. And not, it's not just our parents, of course, that shape us. When you're in school, when you're in middle school, high school, social media now, I mean, the media, we're constantly conditioned to be certain ways and not other ways. And a life where you're just trying to live in those constructs is usually full of suffering.
In the book, you talk about how the first step is to notice you have those feelings. Do you find that many people don't even know they have them?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably an even split. Some people feel bogged down with, let's say, depression or anxiety, and those are usually the words you'll use, you know, but they don't necessarily experience the emotion at a volume or with an acuteness where it's actually a physical sensation-based experience that could move, and whether that's because they're just constantly thinking and observing or they're constantly just kind of playing a record in their mind of how they're a victim. Like, there's lots of ways that people feel emotional, but there's no relief from their emotional experience. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum, I would say, are people where the maladaptive but survival strategies are operating at such a loud volume that, you know, they're either busy all the time or they're chasing success and validation, or you know, they're stuck in an addiction, whether it's to a substance like a drug or alcohol or, you know, pornography, shopping. I mean, we're inundated with things we could choose to bring our awareness to other than our emotions, and we live in a world that's profiting off of us doing that. You know, we are more manipulatable. We spend more money when we think that we could buy the new skin product versus feel like maybe we're not beautiful enough, right? And so I'd say that there's a pretty even split. You know, what people will realize, if you're listening to this, reflect on, you know, what is your story? Do you feel like you're bogged down with emotions? Is there any relief if you have your emotions, you know? Or are you just so busy or so distracted or so consumed? And there will be signs it's a problem, right? If you're on that side, it's like, I'd say the best thing to look for in that case is there's generally a deep lurking fear that if someone knows you well enough, you'll be found out. There's a sense of imposter or fraud, or, you know, that if you are really loved or really seen, that you'll be exposed. And usually there's a good amount of dysfunction, whether it's debt or drug abuse, substance abuse, you know, or just like you can't slow down with yourself for a few minutes. You know, if you're constantly needing to stay on the wheel of distraction, there's something happening underneath.
The wheel of distraction. I like that analogy. And after you finish one distraction, you usually find another and another and another. So
there's
a number of things, and the slowing down is hard. And people often say meditation is hard. It's hard to spend time with myself. It's hard to just sit there and not have my mind filled with all those distractions. So
absolutely,
that can feel like a very foreign state to many people.
Yeah, and I do think that we're all struggling with that, even people who might be feeling their feelings. I mean, just the phones we carry in our pockets, these little computers that, you know, connect to everything. There's not a single person, I don't think, who has a smartphone who isn't struggling with the ways our minds are kind of in an addictive cycle. So, you know, I think it's useful to be gentle with ourselves. But if you're sitting and listening to this and you know, okay, yeah, this relates to me, I feel like I have that sense of there's something wrong with me, there is a different way that works. Like, none of those distractions, no amount of success. Like, I think one of the things that, I can't remember if it made it into the book, I think it did, but, you know, you see people at the peak or pinnacle of their career taking their lives, or whether in suicide or drug abuse, right? And I think part of it is, like, while you're on a ladder thinking that maybe if you become successful enough, or if you get enough validation from the opposite sex or whatever it is, enough listeners on your podcast, you won't feel bad about yourself. I think until people reach that thing they thought would help, they can still delude themselves that that's the problem. Whereas I think once people play out whatever they're trying to shove in their hole far enough, you realize, no, it's still there. And the good news is that there is something that makes you feel better and that can bring you to a place where you actually feel like I'm enough. And it's actually feeling how much you don't feel like you're enough. Like, getting skillful, and I don't think, you know, I do think there are some skills. That's why it's a book and not a bumper sticker. But getting skillful with learning how to connect to the part that feels like it's not enough, which is very obvious. Almost everyone has it. How to connect, become that part, release that pain, and then recover will change your life. So it's like, you just get to feel as bad as you actually feel, and then you start to feel better.
So that, the only way out is through. So you actually start to feel those feelings, and then that is able to shift them. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. And so what's the first thing you advise people to do who are embarking on that journey, who want to learn to begin that process of healing? What do they do? Start with.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulate yourself, because it takes courage, you know, and prepare yourself, because you will face things that you might be afraid of, and feeling fear might be the worst part, but it's part of the path. I'd say the first, so I break this path down into two phases, like I said. The first phase, the easiest way to describe it, is parts work, and it's about finding and reinviting the parts, like I said, that you've cast out. And so this is the one place in my methodology I recommend thinking and reflecting. Generally speaking, I think thinking is overrated, which doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't ever have to have some understanding of where the root of your patterning or your wounding came from. But most of the time in the moment where you're actually trying to feel and have a transformative in-the-moment experience where you'd release something, thinking is usually a way out of that, and it will shut the thing down. But to go back, initially you want to say, huh, what did I learn was unacceptable about me? What might I have shoved out of my own experience? What qualities did I not accept? Who do I feel like I'm hiding from as far as my peers or on dates or from family members, coworkers? And that gives you a sense of who are your VIPs? Who are the, like, little gremlins and ghouls? And they feel that way once you, you know, cast the part out. You know, anyone who feels, like, lack of belonging, which I think most people will relate to in some way, anyone who gets cast out is going to feel worse. And so, you know, you're actually courting these parts that feel like scapegoats. They feel like little monsters. And so it's helpful to have some sense of who might be in there. And then what you're doing is really, it's a process of reestablishing a connection to those parts. And I think it can be very practical where you're essentially, I use metaphor and very actionable items interchangeably in my approach. So, I mean, I do think the metaphoric picture is you're going down into the basement and from outside the closet, you're saying, hey, I'm really sorry. I cast you out. I pushed you away. I want to know you. What this looks like in practice is you might bring out a few pictures of yourself from your childhood at these ages where you felt like you were really unlovable, unacceptable. You might place them on your phone screen, around your home, and you might set alerts on your phone throughout your day that says, hey, check in on little Dawson. Check in on little Rachie. Like, how are you feeling? And you start to notice, how do these parts of you actually feel about your life? You know, who do they actually feel safe with? Who do they not feel safe with? When do they want to be connected? When do they need quiet time? And you start engaging them with enough consistency that they start to realize, oh, there's someone safe here. There's actually a grown-up in the building. And if you do this over time with consistency, these parts will start to feel loved. And guess what? These are the parts of us that were positive are unlovable. So when they feel welcomed in as they are, you know, ultimately it makes us feel more lovable. So part of the healing is just you're including what felt, you know, banished in you. And
we're going to do a break right now, but while we're there, I want you to grab your journal and reflect on what Rachel's sharing with us over here. I want you to write out at least one part of you that you have trouble accepting. So as we're reflecting together now, I'd like you to focus on just one part of you. And as Rachel was giving us those examples, I bet you had some inkling of what one of those parts might be. So take this moment and write that down while we're on break. We're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. My guest is Rachel Kaplan. Her website is thefeelingsmovement.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. It's a joy to have you here.
You are muted.
I'm so glad you are doing this, joining this wonderful community with all of these great ideas, all of these great approaches to living a better life, rather than all the other things you might be doing, which are just distractions from you and giving yourself these moments of inspiration and reflection. And before the break, I invited you to focus and ask yourself about that part of you that you are hiding, that part of yourself you don't accept. And Rachel mentioned that that's the first thing to do, is to identify those parts, create a relationship with them in some way. And for more on Rachel's book, for more on her work, you can go to her website, which is thefeelingsmovement.com. So, Rachel, after that, what's step two?
Yeah, so what will happen if you are consistent with these parts is they start to feel safe enough to kind of show up in your body or to show up in your life. And so this first phase can bring, suddenly you might notice you have more anxiety or more fear or more heartache than you thought you did because you're actually trying to connect with yourself. And so you'll feel less full of it in the fraud sense that comes from trying to get away from those parts, that inauthenticity, but you feel more full of it in the emotional pain sense. And that's what brings us to the second phase of what I call this path. I call it emotional potty training for grown-ups. And that second phase is about the emotional release work. That's where we get into the how do you actually move your feelings through you. So this is about bringing the awareness, your attention into the body, where you start to track the physical sensations of pain in the body so that you can start to allow these emotions to percolate, come up, and move through you. And in this part of the journey, it's really about learning kind of the basics about how emotions work. In general, emotions are energetic. There are a few main patterns they run in. They can be explosive, like rage, or very frenetic fear. They can be implosive or heavy, swamping, like sadness, or paralysis type of fear. And most emotions are a blend of these different energies. And so if you want to help these parts that you've just brought back into your system become lighter so you don't feel like you're carrying around decades of unprocessed emotional pain, it's really about learning how to have your feelings responsibly. And I would say this happens in two main ways. One way is reactive emotional release work, and that's like something hard happened in the middle of your day, and instead of either drinking or exploding on your partner, you're going to learn, okay, how do I go somewhere and actually turn toward the feeling and allow it to emerge and allow it to move. And the reason it's reactive is you got impacted by your life, right? And that happens to us a lot, and that is generally the first thing that will happen for someone trying to heal themselves like this. But eventually, if you really want to move your baseline from feeling like you're not enough, you're terrified, you're enraged, all these like negative experiences so many people get buried in, to a place where you feel worthwhile, safe, content, these like very robust and pleasurable, you know, neutrals, I'd call them, versus highs. If you want that, it requires something called proactive emotional release work. And that's where you might carve into your week a few, let's say 2 to 4 maybe, sessions where just like if you were to go to the gym or create a meditation practice or work on your company. Like anything that you have in your life, you are blocking out time to work on. Similarly, if you want to have, you know, a healthier emotional baseline, if you want to release all this pain, you need to block out windows where you're going to slow down and really get curious about how you feel and move the feelings. And the book will go into the details of how moving anger is really different than moving sadness. You know, if you move anger, you're working with an explosive, high-energy type of release, and you're going to need to have a certain setup for that, whereas for sadness, it's really about containment and swaddling, and different circumstances are going to facilitate that better. So once you have the parts online, once they show you how much pain they're in, the practice is about becoming responsible with having your feelings and kind of going into your backlog and one little emotional movement at a time, clearing out all that pain you're carrying until you can come into a present-centered place where you actually feel like a grown-up, you're not carrying all these old emotions, and that you can shape a life that actually works for you because you're not afraid of your emotions.
Yeah, powerful not to be afraid of your emotions. And then, of course, when you do feel them, they are there and you're with them rather than trying to distract yourself or avoid them. And that by itself is a very powerful perspective to be able to take. Give us an example of a client who learned this, did this, and what happened as that person was actually following those steps.
Right. Well, I would say that I have countless examples, but here's one that I think a lot of listeners will relate to, is that a lot of times, instead of having the pain, usually the root of the onion for most people is a sense of shame, a sense of there's something wrong with me, or I'm not enough. And so one of the most common ways that people try to overcome that is about people-pleasing or martyring and trying to, you know, tune into everyone around them instead of themselves. So I'm thinking of one person who came in, and she was kind of the mama bear, as she called herself, of her friend group, and she was, you know, trying to be popular in a way and take care of everyone. She was a successful lawyer, student of law when I first met her. And through the journey of really getting in touch with the parts of her underneath that were so sure that they were doomed to be left, that they were unlovable, she was able to bring her attention from the outside in and start to have things like boundaries, balance in relationships. I mean, the people who are most drawn to martyrs are parasites. You know, like if someone's giving away everything for free, the people who are going to be, you know, inclined toward that are people who don't want to invest in relationships. And so, you know, you can't have balance. You can't receive unless you're willing to give to yourself, unless you're willing to include your own needs. And so this person now, I would say, has a much healthier marriage, social life, sense of worth, unshakable, like an actual confidence instead of something that's really hinging on everyone's approval. That's one example. I mean, you know, I've seen people come off of all kinds of, pharmaceutical medications, which I'm not suggesting that you do without, you know, help. Certainly substances. I have another client who's actually kind of famous in her own way, but she was, her drug of choice, which is how I like to refer to the thing we're trying to fill our hole with, was success. And, you know, she published many books and, you know, was just constantly just gunning for that kind of approval. And through this journey, and she's actually one of the voices in the book, there are six different clients whose stories are woven in, she was able to meet the gremlin in her basement and learn to love it. And she's now living a pretty content life and family life where, you know, she's not hinging on that. I mean, the reality is that nothing external to our sense of inherent worth makes us feel worthy. And so, you know, it's just it's like a weaning process of helping people realize the thing you're trying to feel better with is failing you. It's also costing you your time, your well-being. But guess what? You have the thing you want inside, and, you know, there's a very clear path to finding it. And, you know, it just works. This works.
So reflect on that. Reflect on what Rachel is sharing with us there is setting aside that time period for being with those feelings, just the way you'd go to the gym, the way you devote time to a pursuit that you felt was really worthwhile. What time will you use for yourself, give yourself, to really be with those parts of self. We're going to a break right now. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a short break.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office. Economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health.
You are muted.
It's so delightful to be here with you. I love doing this every week. And for more on our guest's work, go to her website, thefeelingsmovement.com. You'll find her book there. You'll find her podcast there and also her practice, all at thefeelingsmovement.com. So now we have tuned into our bodies, felt those parts of ourselves that we used to be so uncomfortable with. We've spent time with them. We've now begun to feel a sense of completion around those parts of ourselves. What comes next?
Yeah, so it is a slow kind of excavation or, you know, clearing out a backlog that happens. And I will just warn your listeners that at first, it's really complicated. You know, it sounds really easy, but for most people, when you first start trying to have your feelings, you're going to be faced with a lot of failure voices. The good news is that they're probably familiar, and if you were to just ask yourself in any one of those moments where you're saying, oh, I can't even have my pain, or look, I'm doing it wrong, if you were to ask yourself, well, what's happening in my body as I'm feeling that or as I'm saying that to myself, there you're in. So, you know, there's a great saying, whatever's in the way is the way, and that's absolutely the truth here. But once people get a taste of having my feelings actually makes me feel better, and doing this over time and creating kind of a committed practice to this is actually really shifting how I experience myself in my life, it's usually pretty self-perpetuating because there's actually relief versus all these things we do in an addictive way. So let's say you're at that place where you've released a lot of feelings, you feel more integrated as a person because you are listening to the little parts of you that you thought made you unlovable. Part of what happens is people generally start to wake up to the reality that their life doesn't fit them that well, that they have a lot of relationships, like I spoke about with my client example, that might not be balanced or that might not be based in their highest interests, like people who either want them to kind of sacrifice themselves for the relationship, or just people who, you know, you don't feel comfortable with. A lot of people will find they're not in the right job. They might not be in the right marriage. And so it can be quite scary in the beginning as you realize that your full self doesn't quite fit into the life you built as a kind of compensated self. And this process of testing out what happens if I'm more authentic, if I take up more space, if I speak my truth instead of shoving it down or medicating it, is actually part of how we fully kind of initiate and arrive in our full maturity. Because, like I said in the beginning of this interview, so much of this patterning was created before we could think, before we had any kind of agency. Like, if you're a little baby and your parents are unkind with you, you can't get your own apartment, right? And so you have to figure out a different way to try to make it better, whether that's deadening yourself or just creating this adaptive strategy of people-pleasing, whatever that looked like for you. As a grown-up interested in high health healing, willing to read a book like this, you absolutely have agency. And so as you show these parts of you, as you integrate these parts of you, like dealing with some of the fallout and facing some of what you were most afraid of, like will losing love cause you to die, for instance, and you realize, oh, wait, look, it's just a pain that I'm able to tolerate because I know how to have my pain. There's a real breakthrough that happens where people start to really let go of their old concept of self and their own addiction to these old coping mechanisms and start to trust that they can handle their lives. What I call this is emotional resilience. I say that it is better than happy. It's the new happy. And the reason I say that is that, you know, if you've done this work, you will notice you are largely happy. Like, you will be much lighter. You will be much more capable of joy and laughter because you're not carrying all these old pains and stories. But what's better than that is you're going to know that if you get your heart broken, if you go out for a promotion and you're rejected, if your book gets rejected, whatever it is, that you know how to work with fear, you know how to work with shame, you know how to work with rage. You know how to do that in an appropriate way. And therefore, it really shows you that you can live your life as you are. And I think it is the thing that we need, especially in these times where things are quite fraught, both politically and in globally and weather-wise. And, you know, it's like being happy or chasing a high isn't enough. And so the end of the book is really about how do you test yourself so that you can truly come into a fully identified place with who you actually are versus, you know, kind of missing that you've changed and you've grown and you've healed.
Yeah, and then inhabiting that new reality, inhabiting that new persona is maybe very different from your old one and may cause waves around you too, because now you don't fit and you're going to probably see some kind of shift in the way people relate to you. And you mentioned earlier that you trained in EMDR, and how does EMDR fit with this? I know the energy therapies are very powerful. They help us shift at the biological level. Where do things like the techniques of EMDR fit into this healing journey?
Well, EMDR is fascinating. It's one of the most, it's like a gold star, the most kind of credible treatment for trauma resolution. It's used in all kinds of very traditional settings like vet clinics and whatnot. And what it's doing is it's using bilateral brain stimulation, which sounds scary, but it can be as simple as like listening to beats go back and forth, left, right, or holding vibrating paddles. It's like using bilateral brain stimulation while your trauma nervous system is activated. So someone would think about an experience that was very negative or traumatic or really helped them kind of come into a negative or limited identity. And then you just gently, you know, activate both sides of the brain, and it enables the meaning-making frontal cortex, the mature parts of the brain, to untangle what has previously been like a knot of this very limbic or, you know, lizard brain kind of knot or lock. You know, things, if you're in a traumatic state when something happens, your survival brain goes online and the other parts of your brain shut off. And so it brings your entire brain online so that you're able to kind of process it and resolve it. And again, similar to what I'm saying happens through emotional release work and through part integration, come into a more realistic, mature experience of yourself and not have that automatic body-based response to your life. So EMDR is tremendously helpful. I will just say, and it's widely practiced. I do it. Tons of people do it. I do think it's useful before you take the charge out with something like EMDR to learn the skills of how do you actually have your feelings. Because so much of our world, and I think some of what's a little bit controversial about the book is I think that there are so many techniques, both in the therapeutic industry and also in the mindset, like woo-woo, new age, self-help industry, that in effort to heal us are actually harming us. And I think that without actually being able to feel, allow, and digest your pain, anything that you do that tries to kind of save you from your pain will end up being something that ends up being bypassing or like kind of like putting a scratch and sniff sticker over a pile of poo. Like, the sticker might smell good, but the poo smells more. And I think that the thing that helps us heal our core wounds, which are those things that happen from that pre-verbal, precognitive state with, you know, attachment wounding with our caregivers like we spoke about, the thing that really helps us heal is this integration work and the emotional release work. And from that place, doing mindset or intention work and trying to have positive thoughts, saying affirmations, doing trauma resolution modalities, fantastic. If you do all of those instead of trying to include the parts of you that you've cast out and have your pain, you're going to end up just more fragmented. And I do think that that's what you see in most of the therapeutic industry and also even in this, like, spiritual mindset industry. So I'm really trying to say, hey, let's do this also.
Yeah, there's research showing that you have to feel things in order to heal them. There have been studies looking at whether you can build that healed persona without really dealing with trauma, and the research is pretty compelling. You can't.
Yeah.
I wish you could, but the research is otherwise. We're getting to a break right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. Rachel's book is called Feel, Heal, and Let That Shit Go. Her website, where you can find out more about her work and her book and her travels and her podcast, is thefeelingsmovement.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com. StressDump.com.
Hello, and welcome back to
you
High
are muted.
Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. My guest today is Rachel Kaplan. Her book is called Feel, Heal, and Let That Shit Go, and she's given us a lot of good ideas on how to do that. Her website is thefeelingsmovement.com. And Rachel, I'm so grateful that in the previous point you made the reality that we have to feel our feelings. We can't build the superstructure of the life we want on the basis of unhealed trauma. And there's been research on this, whether you can, because it would be delightful if you simply go out there and construct this ideal self and not have to go back into the basement and heal the stuff. But the research is compelling that we have to do that. And there's a start, middle, and end to it as well. You do that, you learn these skills, you become adept at processing feelings, and after a while, you pretty much clean out the basement. Then you can go ahead and build that new life. So what do you start? How do you start that process once you've developed that emotional maturity, emotional flexibility, that resilience you mentioned, be able to heal, release? Where do you go from there?
Yeah, I would say that it's pretty organic, because what enabled you to get to that place was including your more sensitive parts, the parts that generally get banished to the basement, are our sensitive, kind of quirky parts. And so if someone is willing to be themselves, willing to stick out, willing to not please, willing to speak up for themselves, what that looks like is that they're actually more embodied in their weird, wonderful way. Like, I do think we're all kind of, the most fascinating, fun parts of us are not the ones that are just conditioned into normalcy. And so if you're welcoming those parts and you're listening to them, and at that point you're less afraid of your pain, you're hopefully going to be guided by a sense of what is your path to walk, whether that's, you know, continuing just with more courage and more authenticity in the path you've already created, or if that's something of creating a new path. There are very specific practices I give toward the end of the book, like I said, around ways to kind of fabricate a self-test, almost like a rite of passage. Certain more usually earth-based cultures would build in rites of passage. We've lost those in modern Western culture by and large. Even some of these like kind of religious ones don't necessarily have the same testing that happens. But there are ways to test yourself where you can really prove yourself to yourself, which is that self, that emotional resilience that I think can be so empowering for you to just be yourself. I think that the most important thing, though, you know, because it is an elaborate journey. I don't think it's complicated. It's actually quite simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy. And so I think wherever you are in that journey, whether you're new to, you know, feeling your feelings or self-work or not, there's something really helpful to know, which is that you will feel better, you know, and that it's impossible. I mean, everyone's afraid, generally speaking, that if they feel their pain, their heartbreak, they'll never stop crying. And I double dog dare you, like, unless you're in an acute crisis, try to cry for more than 5 minutes. For most people, and there are some cases of significant trauma where this isn't true, of course, but for most people, it's quite the opposite that's true. And so if you can just brave into the unknown a bit, face this thing that you're sure will swallow you up and eat you whole, what you'll do is you'll start to build both, like, self-trust, and you'll start to experience the relief for yourself that will make it less scary. And, you know, what's fabulous about this is when you learn how to move your feelings in the way I'm teaching, you burden your relationships less. Like, a lot of people only can have their feelings if they have a witness, which means something hard happens, they're immediately venting. And there's definitely a time and place for being held, being witnessed, whether in therapy or in a marriage or in a friendship. But, you know, we don't bring our loved ones into the bathroom every time we poop, right? And it is incredibly empowering to know, wow, well, if I get in the bathtub, I can feel sadness. Or if I get out a bat or racket, I can really move through my anger toward my boss and I don't have to share it with everyone I love. So, you know, learning these tools enables you, empowers you to really, for yourself, kind of change your life. It means that, you know, therapy is great. I'm not trying to put myself out of business or other therapists. But you actually have the tools you need internally to create the relationship between the part of you that really has love to give with the part of you that needs the love. And doing that, bridging those parts and becoming kind of emotionally current and emotionally natural or lubricated or regular in the digestion world will be absolutely the most valuable thing you can do. Finding your own self-worth from the inside is invaluable, and it will change your life. And the book will help you. All the programs I do will help, but you have the power to do this.
So that's a very powerful realization that you and feel those things, and if you allow yourself to feel them, it might feel like a bottomless pit, especially if you have a lifetime of not feeling them. And I really want you to take Rachel's point to heart here. It might seem overwhelming. It might seem like such a great big cesspool down there. You don't want to touch it. But I know I train hundreds of therapists and coaches every year, and one of the things we train them in is let your client feel. If your client's in touch with their feelings, you'll get triggered, and you may want to make them feel better. Don't do that, because you're aborting that process. And so you let them feel, and then as they do feel, eventually you do reach an end. So believe what Rachel is telling you, that it may be scary to start to let these things flow. As you do let them flow, eventually you do reach an end to that process. You've released a huge amount of that old stuff, and that's when you really find your true self emerging. Rachel, I so appreciate your perspective, appreciate your work. Thank you ever so much for being here. I'm just going to mention your website one more time. Rachel's website for her book and her work is thefeelingsmovement.com. Rachel, go out there and encourage lots more people to feel and heal. Thank you.
I will. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
It was a joy. And till next time, love yourself. Care for yourself, use the exercises in here, share the show with other people. My name is Dawson Church. You've been listening to High Energy Health. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.